First Timothy chapter 4. Praise God. No wonder God said we should teach the people how to operate the gifts. Sitting down among the gifted brethren and in the congregation are genuine gifted people. Converted gifted people. And please, church, don't be stumbled by any gifted brother or sister. Remember, we don't know the genuine children of God by their gift. How do you know them? By their fruit. So the question is, is it possible for God to anoint somebody who is not his child, who will not go to heaven? The answer is what? Why? Because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That is thus said the Lord. He giveth his gifts. His gifts. Hallelujah. To everyone. He said, even including the rebellious. Those who hate him, he will still give them the gift to fulfill his own purpose. That's why I say, don't look at me and think that I am a son of God because I can teach the Bible. It is easier to teach the Bible than to live the Bible. I don't know whether you understand what I mean. Hallelujah. It is easier to teach the Bible than to live the Bible. That's why William Branham said, don't preach me a sermon. He said, live me a sermon. The life you live will preach better than open Bible and begin to explain Bible. The meaning of this Bible is better understood by the life that we live. The life that we live portrays what is written in the Bible, confirms that the Bible is true. The devil wants us to believe that it is not possible to have a converted person. But God is here also to confirm that he can produce genuine children. Genuine children of God. Genuine children of God. And all we need to do is just yield yourself. He will work on you. He will work on you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And church, I am not the standard. So don't be like Pastor Moses. I am not the standard for anything. I am not. Don't look at any man and say it's your standard. Don't. And don't sit down in the congregation because of the way I preach and tell me, say, I am sure my pastor is converted. If you do like that, you will miss it. Come close to me first. Come close to me first. Then you can confirm. One sister was asking a question during a Masumari. He said, I have been wanting to my husband, my desire for a husband is to be like a man of God I know. And I asked, who is that man of God? He said, na me. He said, na me. You want to marry my kind of man? And I told her, I said, that is wrong. Before you say you want to marry a man like me, try to get close to my wife. And tell my wife how this man be. And tell her not to lie to you. Tell her to tell you exactly who this man be. True. Because you only know me with microphone. You never see pastors with their wife. They carry prayer requests for them to another church. Eh? You never see pastors where they sleep with other women in the church and the wife know them. You never see pastor when they beat their wife over house. But see him full of anointing. The congregation say, oh, this man wife going to enjoy you. So before you say, and I told you, I said, if a man is married, the first person that give a testimony of his conversion is his wife. Because my wife know all in secret. Is he here like a saint? You don't know whether or not devil they leave your house. Praise the Lord. There are some women that cannot stand shorty for their husband. And the husband a pastor. So therefore, be like Jesus. The only man we want to be like is Jesus, because we have record that that is the man that lived without sin. And he's our perfect example. In everything that we do, he is our perfect example. But not too many people know how did Jesus look like. Because some people look at Jesus first and they see his coat that was so special until those Roman soldiers were struggling to share. So they say Jesus Christ was wearing designer clothes. I am preaching now. You are looking at the kind of shoe I wear. Instead of listening to what I'm telling you, you will miss it. But if you look at my shoe, you will miss it. Some people, they look at me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, teach her how to pray the gifts. The gifts are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Shout the gifts. Let me hear you. Shout the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read it from verse 3 or 4. Verse 4. Those are the gifts we are talking about. Shout to them. If you see them, stand up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yes. Read it from verse 4.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 from 4.
Yes.
Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And there are differences of administration.
Yes.
But the same Lord.
Yes.
And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with her.
Yes.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Mm-hmm. To another, the word of knowledge.
Word of knowledge.
By the same Spirit. To another, faith. By the same Spirit.
Uh-huh.
To another, gift of healing.
Uh-huh.
By the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy.
Uh-huh.
To another, discerning of spirit. To another, diverse gifts of tongues.
Uh-huh.
To another, the interpretation of tongues.
Mm-hmm.
But all this worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will.
Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11 and verse 12. Ephesians, if you see it, stand up, they'll give you a microphone. And somebody there.
Praise the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Ephesians chapter 4,
verse 10 and 11 and 12.
I read. And he that descended is the same also that ascended off far above all heavens.
Yes.
That he might fill all things.
Yes.
And he gave some apostles.
Some what?
Apostles.
Apostles.
And some prophets.
Prophets.
And some evangelists.
Evangelists.
And some pastors.
Pastors.
And some teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry.
What is he giving for? To perfect the saints. Uh-huh.
For the work of the ministry.
For the work of which ministry? Ministry of reconciliation. Yes.
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
For the edification of the body of Christ.
Till we all come in the unity of faith.
Okay.
And in the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth not be more children. Uh-huh. Those to and fro. And carried about by every winds of doctrine.
Uh-huh.
By the spirit of men.
Uh-huh.
And by cunning craftiness. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Okay, go to that scripture we read again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28.
Verse 28.
Yes.
And God has sent some in the church.
Some in the church. First.
First, apostles.
Apostles.
Secondary, prophets.
Prophets.
Thirdly, teachers.
Teachers.
After that, miracles.
Miracles.
Then, gifts of healing.
Healing.
Herbs.
Help now.
Government. Diversities of tongues.
And diverse tongues. They are all the spiritual gifts we are talking about. You will notice that help is also a gift. And then government, the ability to organize, is also a gift. That is what we've been talking about. How to operate these gifts. Go back to our back issues, and then read, get the tapes, and listen to the past messages on this same topic. Today we are proceeding to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now I want to read from verse 7 something very interesting here concerning the gifts. Verse 7, I'm reading verse 7 up to verse 10. He said, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Now, watch it here. Verse 7 says something. Catch it. Maybe this has never been quickened to you before. Verse 7, the statement that says, it says, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Then he explained it further in verse 8. He said, "For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." Now, what is he saying here? What Apostle Paul is saying here, he said, "Exercise yourself unto godliness." Then he came and said, "Bodily exercise profited little." Now, we know that the sportsman, for instance, hallelujah, the sportsman has a gift. Maybe it is table tennis, basketball, or even football. Maybe sports. You know that for him to keep in form, in top form, he has to be practicing. Anytime he stops for some period without playing, what happens to him? He loses form. That's what Apostle Paul is trying to make us understand, a spiritual principle and fact. That the sportsman profited. He said, physical exercise, he says, in comparison to spiritual exercise, he said the physical one profited little. Why does he profit little? Upon all the books, the right books on exercise, if you are a man that does not exercise, for you to be healthy, you are told to exercise so that your physical body can be healthy. If you don't exercise, you just wake up and sleep, go and sit down, you are maybe you are a security guard in a company, because that's the job that makes you sit down in one place. You sit down for hours, you stand up again, go home, go and sleep. The next day, stand up again, go and sit down for hours. No time to exercise yourself. You know, you are working against your health. Eventually, the physical body will react. All manner of sicknesses will come up. So, exercise is good, but this is in reference to a gift. Just as for you to keep in form, hallelujah, you have to practice physically. Keep playing football. Keep going for your table tennis practice so that you keep in form. He says, so also it is with spiritual gifts. He said, verse 8, "For bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." That is, godliness will affect you physically and spiritually, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Spiritual exercise, there is a benefit of it, both while you are living on earth here and after you have passed on to the other side. Spiritual exercise. There is a need for you to exercise yourself unto godliness. That means just as you can practice to play football, physical exercise, you can also practice godliness. You can practice godliness. And the more you practice, the more perfect you become. There are people that find it very difficult to give. It is not in them to give. But do you know you can be a giver by practicing giving? It will come a time where, because you continue to practice, it becomes very easy. It is no big deal for you now to help when there is time to help, need to help. You can practice godliness. You can practice love. And if you stop practicing it, you become dead, dead, dead. And he said, the reward, the benefit of it is both physical here while we are alive, and after we die, we will still enjoy the benefit of such practice here. But physical exercise, and so when you die, you are dead. That's why he said physical exercise profited little. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, you can practice love. You can practice to be kind. You can practice it. And every gift, relation to gift, every gift you have can be practiced. Exercise unto godliness. One of the exercises is meditating on the word. It has its effect. Not too many people have time to meditate. Not too many people have time to take the Bible and meditate. See, a Christian should create time during the day and make it as a practice. I will have at least 1 hour, and then I will study from so-so to so-so. I didn't say you will read. See, I don't tell the people to read the Bible. I tell you to study the Bible. John is saying this. Jesus is saying this. What does this mean? The psalmist, if it's Psalm you are reading, how do I apply what is said to me? That is the meaning of study. Every scripture here is written, and it is profitable. We say it's written by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine and for everything else. So everything that is written here, you are supposed to read it, whatever is the portion you decide to pick that day, and learn a lesson from there. How do I apply this to myself? Now, it's not easy to have 1 hour, you alone, to sit down somewhere and take Bible and read. It is very, very difficult. But as soon as you begin, you start, just like the sportsman. Once the time for you to go for your sports comes and you are not there, your body will be reacting. 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 You know, I see something is missing. There's something I'm supposed to do I have not done. No peace until you do that thing. So also it is when it is time for your meditation. Now, so many of us that pray, and we have no time to even wait and hear God talk back to us. One of the ways he talks back to us is by meditating in his word. And you can practice it. It will be difficult the first time. It will be difficult the first week. But by the time you continue like that, it will become part of you. And it will be so easy to create time until you will even increase from 1 hour to 2 hours. Yes. Exercising unto godliness include fasting. Some people find it very difficult to fast. And so they fast once in a year, if they try. Why? Because as soon as you start, you decide that day that you want to fast. Today, or you start tomorrow. Tomorrow when I wake up. Tomorrow till 6 o'clock. I'm not going to eat. When it is 10 midnight, somebody will be talking to you. You know, say, tomorrow, you go fast. Also, load your stomach now. You say not true. You go to the kitchen. I eat heavily. No matter how heavily you eat, 6 hours after, piam, you come back to square one. So it's better if you want to fast the next day, start to inform your stomach in advance by eating less today. So that all the trouble he wants to give you when you'll be looking for food, because after 6 hours, he's going to start again and say, food, 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 food. Your belly will turn, turn. By the time it will turn, it's turning in the night when you are asleep. So by the time you wake up, it don't turn tire. It don't rest. You know the human anatomy, those of you who are in the medical field, you know that the body stores her own food. So the digestive enzymes in your stomach, whenever it needs food, it will trouble you. But when it discovers that Bill has said food no go come from external source, then it will look inward. The balance of all those fat for your belly, all those ones, it will be eating from there. Until you finish eating it. That is why those who want to do dry fasting, the first day and the second day is tough. But after the second day, you are able to bear it. After that, you don't feel hungry again. The reason is, they say food no go come from outside. It don't trouble you. More food now. Give me food. Nothing. Every time, give me food. Go drink water. Or no water self. After some time, you go say, let's look for food here. Then it will go into your intestines, go into suck from wherever the vitamins are, and then stop troubling you. Until you don't chop, there's nothing more to eat. And that will take you to about the 40th day, the 50th day. Then you will come back again. Nothing more, I'll kill you. Give me, I'll kill you. Amen. Fasting doesn't kill anybody. You will not die after the first day. Your eye will turn. Your eye will become red. You know, walk out like this. And the devil is there to speak thoughts to you. Break it up. Break it up. Break it up. You go die. You go die. And it's quick. Anywhere you go, it go point you where there's a grave. Any compound has grave in front of the house, you go see on that day. And you tell you, say, now die, they come so. If you sleep, you see your dead relation in a dream. That is if you can sleep. If you are very hungry, you know you can't sleep. If real hunger catch you, for where? No sense I will tell you, you don't sleep. When are they hungry? Wake up. Your body can talk to you. Praise the Lord. Fasting. But if you ignore all that, continue. Make it a duty. Every week, this day and this day is my fasting day. And don't announce it to anybody. When you announce it to people, they will discourage you. There are people that are anointed to pull down people when they are going up in the spirit. You tell them, today I'm not fasting, your friend. He knows you're not fasting. At that time, you go bring Mr. Biggs, open up. Where you there? Nanti saying they fast. Nancy saying they fast. Me? I don't fast. This is by grace. By grace. I am looking at it. Not true, not grace. Your ability to ignore it. That's the exercise. That's the exercise. Exercise yourself in fasting. Because fasting tames the body. That's the benefit. If you can say no to your body to eat. I've been saying this before. If you have the ability to tell your body, I will not give you food. That person has total control of his life. You can tell yourself, I will not commit this sin. Because the same urge you have to commit sin is the same power to eat when you decide you will not eat. Once you can tell your body, in a lie, today I say it's for fasting. And then the body obeys you or you conquer it. Then you can say no to any situation that is contrary. So you can fast. Prayer is the same thing. Some people can never pray for more than 5 minutes. If you pray for 1 hour for where, he will tell you, come, now they pray, what do you want to talk? Because he has nothing to say. He has spoken, nothing more. What do I go talk again now? It is because you are praying in the flesh. You are praying in the spirit. Hallelujah. And you don't know what to pray because all your prayers are selfish prayers. You have nobody you are interceding for. You are not interceding for your family members. You are not interceding for your church. You are not interceding for the country. And it's because you don't have a prayer list. Before you start to pray, have a prayer list. Take them item by item. You soon discover that 2 hours is not even enough for you to cover that. But if you just say, hey, it's time for prayer in Jesus' name. Father, I'm still believing you for that work. That work. The next thing is, I bind the devil. Anybody standing against my way, I bind. Waiting again. Father, I leave the rest to you. I leave the rest to you. Plus the one I have spoken, plus the one I have not spoken. Oh Lord, you know all of them. May you answer all of them. Plus the you are defeated. You don't know it. So you can practice prayer also. Because prayer brings down God. Prayers get the ministering spirits, angels on duty. You get them working for you. Anytime you pray, you are sending angels to work for you. Anytime you pray, you bring down God's presence. Therefore, that is the benefit of this spiritual exercise. And also, you can practice holiness. Because the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. And so, practice of holiness will enable God's presence to be around you every time. And the Bible says, if a man's way pleases the Lord, what does he do? It's true. So godliness can make you to bring peace all around you. So that is why he says, godliness profited unto all things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's true. Because godliness, the practice of godliness will bring you joy and peace. He said the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Apostle Paul, where we read, what did he say? 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, for verse 8, for bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor. So he's saying, this is the reason why we both labor and suffer reproach. Why? Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe, that we know that if we practice godliness, he will not fail us. That's what he's saying. We trust in the living God. He will not fail us. He will not fail us. There's a reward attached to it. And it is because of that reward. Hallelujah. He says, you have peace, you have joy when you practice godliness. And we know that a life that is full of misery, no joy, no peace, nothing around, it destabilizes the system, the functions of the body. Therefore, it creates all manner of sicknesses. Why are you having wrinkles all over your face? You are just 30-something years old. But when they see you, they see wrinkles all over you. Why? There's no peace. Instead of laughing, smiling, you are always frowning. Nothing to smile about around you. You see? Everything is turning upside down around you. And when you see everything around you turning upside down, don't run to a prophet. Don't run to a church. Look back. Look inward to your spiritual life. Am I living a life pleasing before God? Because I know if I live my life pleasing before God, He will still all the storms around me. God fights battle for His children. many of us are disconnected from him. So Satan will come because he said, break the edge. Serpent will bite you. Instead, you are trying to go and look for the cause. Yes, the cause is your uncle. Yes, the cause is your godfather. And what do you call it? Stepbrother. Stepfather. Stepmother. Your the cause is the person in your office. The cause. The truth is, the cause is not that man. The cause is the spirit, the devil, that is using that man. But that man has succeeded in getting you. Why did he succeed in getting you? He succeeded because you are disconnected from heaven. The edge was broken. If not, when he comes, he will not be able to get at you. That's the truth. So, review yourself again and practice godliness because of the benefit. You experience joy. You experience peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, these gifts that we have can be killed. Do you see vision? Word of knowledge? Do you dream? Healing the sick? Prophecy? Tongues? Interpretation of tongues? Miracle? Whatever it is, the gift you exercise, that gift can be killed. It can be killed through two or three means. There are three ways that gift can be killed. Praise the Lord. The first one is non-usage, negligence. 1 Timothy chapter 4 again. Let's read one verse there. Apostle Paul was telling the Timothy, verse 14. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That means a gift can be neglected. And when you neglect a gift, what happens? When you neglect a gift, what happens? It becomes ineffective. If you have a skill of playing football and you stop playing football, what happens? That gift will become dormant. Ineffective. Praise God. Ineffective. And I hope you know that the gift also becomes dormant because there's something you are neglecting to do. When particularly the word of knowledge gift, particularly word of knowledge gift. The word of knowledge gift, that is, you receive a message for someone, for some people, and you don't give it. Now, the gift operates like the computer, that particular gift of the word of knowledge. Or your telephone. When you receive text messages and you don't delete them, what happens? Others can't come in. If you are following me, let me see your hand. Some people, they look at me like cinema. Thank you. Make sure you are listening to me. Because God is raising up gifted people in this church. He will sweep away the fake ones. He will establish the genuine ones. That's why I'm teaching you this thing now. Praise the Lord. Those of you who are genuine ones, listen and improve on your own. Everyone, if you receive a message, you don't give. It accumulates there. So when the angel is bringing another one, he notices that the former one he brought yesterday, you have not given it. So he holds it because there is no space to receive it. So you are saying, I used to see before. I know they see again. The ability is still there, but you have not yet created room for it to come. So that also kills the gift. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Another reason why the gift can be killed. There's something Apostle Paul said here in verse 6 and verse 7, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One of the things that disturb your gift is fear. Some people, the Lord wants to use you in a bus. The Lord wants to use you in your compound. The Lord wants to use you in your prayer group. In the church here, God wants to use you. You are sitting down by the next person and God is giving you a message for that person. Give it now. Fear. Make them not say, ha, if I talk this one, ah, you are not there. Fear. That spirit that you have received, Apostle Paul in verse 7, he said, he, God, has not given us, it's not a spirit of fear. It is a spirit of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Gifted people don't operate their gift in fear. Especially the prophetic gift. Praise the Lord. I was telling the ministers the other day. Somebody say, me I no want to talk. Because the other day I talk, up to now, they know they talk to me. I said, then you are not a true servant of God. Your responsibility is to say it. Once you have said it, the rest is with God. You fight me because God sent me to you. My God will fight you. I said, there is, and God knows how to vindicate you. Especially if it is, thus saith the Lord, do something. And the person said, get out. And he refuses to do it. Don't worry now, God is his own interpreter. When the time comes and that thing comes to pass, then you will remember that you spoke by the Lord. If you go and prophesy, they slap you there. Say, God, now you say, make I go talk amu. But be sure it is God, though. Because devil too can send you, make them go slap you somewhere. So be sure it is God that is sending you. Praise the Lord. Fear. 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 Fear will rob you of the blessings of that gift. That gift, one day God is going to ask you, what did you do with that gift? You will say, like that man that was given one talent. He say, in fear, in no one will hallow, that's why you, and you saw what the Lord answered him. The spirit that's given to you is a spirit of boldness. It also goes with wisdom. Boldness must also go with wisdom. But say it if God has given you a message. Say it. If you see a sister married, is sleeping with a man outside, go and call her between you and her. Sister, this is thus said the Lord. You dey sleep with one man outside. Repent. Oh, this is what God says. It is no spirit of boldness for you to stand a sister in the church, a married sister, and say, the Lord say, you are sleeping with another man. Now, that is not God sending you. God can't send you to give that type of message because it does not edify, it does not comfort, it does not exhort. The purpose is to stop that sister from sleeping with someone. That is why God is revealing. And it's not everyone that commits sin that the sin will be revealed to a prophet. It is only his own. That God reveals your sin to a man of God is evidence that you are his daughter. You are his son. If you have no connection with him, he will leave you because he has prepared where he will meet you. Hellfire. It's only his son. He's revealing it to you, brother. You're a cocaine pusher. Stop it. It is because that is evidence you are a son of God. And he wants you to repent. He comes once, you don't repent. He comes two, you don't repent. He will even wait up to three times and warn you. If you refuse, the next time, you're not going to even carry him. You only there around where the thing there, they go grab you. Send you. Now for prison yard, your head will come down. Have mercy upon me. But when they told you, you didn't have mercy. So it's your responsibility to say it. Make sure you deliver it in the best way you can. The important thing is, it is delivered. Praise the Lord. The next verse. The next verse. 2 Timothy. The next verse says, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. It says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of what? The afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Two things that kill the gift. I mean, that's what I'm trying to bring out here. The first one, I say negligence. The second one is fear and shame. Some of us, now shame. You think that is humility. Hey, shame, they catch me. This anointing, don't they call? This anointing, don't they call? Go soon fall down. This people go see me, they fall down. It's a shame, they catch. That thing will hit you back. Some, the thing they call, this thing, don't they come again? They will stand up like say they won't go peace. They go, they run, they go. They will run out. Why? Sister, why are you running out? Say, shame, they catch me. Shame. Shame, they catch me. Shame, they catch you, Abby. You are inside a bus. The Spirit of God is preaching to you. Stand up and preach. He said, hey, Holy Ghost, have mercy. I beg. Shame, they catch me. Use another person now. Use another person. You are shame. When you do that, the Holy Ghost will withdraw that gift from you. He will stop ministering to you again. You are killing the gift. But why should you be ashamed? It's because you don't know the danger. Matthew chapter 10. There's a scripture there. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 32. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, what will happen? Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, what will happen? Him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Praise God. It's true now. Denying Christ. Why should you deny him? Why should you deny him? You are not proud of the one that gave you eternal life. Sister, you are proud to introduce your fine husband to all your friends and everybody around. That's my husband. That's my husband. But your spiritual husband, Jesus Christ, you are ashamed to let them know that that is your spiritual husband. So when you do that, he too, amen, he'll be ashamed of you. And if your own lawyer is ashamed to stand for you in the court of justice, then where do you stand? Jesus is our advocate. Anytime you commit any sin, he is standing there before the throne and saying, Father, she is the reason why I shed my blood. When you are proud of him, he will be proud of you before the throne. Praise the Lord. And that's why servants of God speak boldly, because they know who is behind them. You are not ashamed, you will not be ashamed too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9. He repeated it again in Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9 verse 26. Hallelujah. That verse, it says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. And when he shall come in his own glory in the millennium, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels, he will be ashamed of you also at that period. When Christ will come and to rule with his saints, when he see you, he will be ashamed of you. Because you are ashamed to preach the gospel. You are afraid, ashamed to show the unbelievers that we are serving a living God. Your neighbor, every time, is making caricature of you. God can allow a problem that he or she has not to be solved, and until he uses you You are sitting down there and he will give you the solution. And they go now, you go say, hey, me, I know they will. And with this company, they go, they call me pastor. Me, I not like that one. You are ashamed, Abby? He too will be ashamed of you. It will not be your portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's exactly what you see in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. He says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. He says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will do what? Deny us. This is Bible. Number three, the reason why your gift can be killed. And that is the one that puzzles me the most. Is that occultic people can manipulate your gift. And that is one mystery that I find very difficult to understand, but it is a fact. That an occultic man can lay hand on you and you will stop seeing vision from that day. It happens. You will lay hand on you. And this occultic man, I'm not talking about Babalao, I'm saying people who claim to be men of God. Praise God. They will see the grace of God upon you. They've seen it. That is why I say, I believe Apostle Paul that say, some ministers are ministers of Satan. Amen. How do we know them? How will I know? Church, that gift you have, the Bible says, is for you to profit with it. That gift can also help you. See, before you go to any church, listen, if you go to any church, before you sit down there and say, this is my church, this is my pastor, pray, Lord, reveal to me, who is this man? What is the foundation of this ministry? See, it is a prayer that God does not waste time to answer. But so many foolish people, you just enter a church and you say, people are falling down. People are falling. You say, Kai, the man is gifted. People are giving testimonies. And you say, all these testimonies here. And you don't know some of those testimonies are arranged testimonies. This is simple. It's simple how to know a church. See, any church you go and you discover that the man of God there does not allow other gifts to function, run away. It is not your own he will allow to function. That's what I'm saying. It's not your own he will allow. Once you know, of all these thousands of people gathering here, there are only some specific people, 1, 2, 3 of them. The rest, lie. Now your own he will allow, Abi. That one is common sense. That one not be prayer you need now. That's just 2 times 2, 4. And now that person is saying, Brother John, I see a great light. The Lord wants to use you. Come, let me increase the anointing. Now lie. No go. Praise the Lord. No go. And it's not everyone that you allow to lay hand on you. It's not everyone. Sister, you're looking for fruit of the womb. Come on, lay down. You know the person they put and make you put the hand for your womb. You know what they put there? So be sure of who prays for you. Be sure of who lay hands on you. I'm not talking in this ministry, because in this ministry, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Such can't be here. You know, it can't be here. Any minister we allow to minister to you is because we have confirmed the gift. The conversion, I can't confirm because I am not God. But the anointing, we have confirmed it. And it is not his character. Well, it's ministering to you. It's the anointing. We saw the anointing. Now the anointing they use. So if it display character contrary to what we stand for, that does not affect the anointing. As long as we are the ones here that commission him to do it. And I've explained that mystery to you. I've explained that mystery to you here. If I stand here and I say, and not even them alone, even if I pick your sister out now, there's no time to demonstrate that. I take sister here and I bring a sick person and I say, pray for that person. The spiritual principle is the anointing will come on that person. Because I say, pray for that person. So if I am fake, now fake one will go follow you. But the fake one can never do that. The fake one has no ability to transfer it to another person to do. The fake one stays with him and him alone. That is why I question any ministry that one man is the only one that all the miracles and everything happens. Another person, see, gift is infectious. I don't know if you understand me. A genuine gift is infectious. You know how tuberculosis infects a person? That is how gift is. Praise the Lord. Because somebody else will be operating the gift. Maybe one small girl. Maybe Amarachi small. No, not short, she's short, she's not small. I want small person. Any small person. Not short, she's short, she's not small. Okay, one short person, like this, my daughter Amarachi, is prophesying. Then one small girl there will be saying, if God can use this one, he can use me too. And as in that realm, he is looking like that, her spirit will contact her. And before you know what, that anointing will hit her. And before you know what, she'll begin to operate that gift. In a proper setting. But not only you, they do miracle. Not only you, they prophesy. Not only you, I will question the source of that anointing. So there are places you go that the gift will be killed. There are places you go that the gift will bust out. One of those places is this ministry. So you are blessed being in a church like this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I emphasize, please, as I round up this sermon, I emphasize, don't go anywhere, anyhow, and let anybody lay hand on you, especially if you know you have a grace upon you. You are sure that it's a gift upon you. Don't go anyhow, anywhere, anyhow, for people to lay hand on you. Don't do that. I know several people that come to me, pastors in other churches, they come and they want me to lay hand on them so that their grace can, anytime I see that, I say, now all these people, they jump from place to place, they jump trouble. Don't do that. That gift, before it started, did anybody lay hand on you? Why are you not going for someone to lay hand on you for the thing to come out? Now, it's simple logic. Praise the Lord. If somebody say, I see the light, come, I will bring up this, your gift, I will bring you up. Be careful with that. Follow me, I will bring you up. I will bring you up. Come, I want you to walk with me. Let this anointing increase. Take it. It's dangerous. So I don't tell you. One day you will remember this message I'm preaching today. Take note again. That this gift that you operate can expose you very easily to attack. Very easily. Especially those of you who have the gift of the word of knowledge. That is those of you who see vision. Those of you who hear voice. Those of you that can see things that people like us cannot see. If me and you go to buy okra for market, even I wish they sell them. If Nami go by, he go sell and they greet me, say, they go. But if you come, like you go say, they go your way, they go. And you say, I wait, I say, how much be your okra? I abuse you. He say, I don't sell, they go now. You say, ah, which kind of woman be this? There is something you don't see. Who has ever experienced that? No, you must. You must experience it. Anytime you go near somebody, you don't do anything, begin to hate you. Don't say, I don't know anywhere I go and they hate me. No! Amen. There is a light they have seen around you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, because of it, before you even recognize who they are, they don't stone you finish. Get out of the waiting, bring this one, because they will project something and it will hit you. And remember, you are very light in the spirit and you can contact anything, anyhow, very easily. Praise the Lord. Therefore, you must be prayerful. You must be watchful. A gifted brother, a gifted sister does not live his life carelessly. You finish ministering to people now. You go and lie down, yakata, zeka, I don't tire. You don't pray, Abi? You don't sleep, Abi? You don't pray? Okay. You are the one that need deliverance more frequently than anybody else. Therefore, take time once a while and always withdraw for prayer. Have your days where you withdraw. There are so many of the things that, so many of you, what you do here, you are deciding to withdraw to the mountain to pray. I'm going to the mountain to pray. You now go and tell one sister, sister, at the go mountain tomorrow, go pray. Yeah, that is not a personal prayer anymore. Personal prayer, you withdraw off your phone between you and God only. If you have a family that you need to be contacting, or you want to assure your boyfriend that you still love him, because your boyfriend, if you don't call her a whole day, he go think say you don't love him. Or she, now women, they do that thing pass. If you don't call him from morning to night, I told you don't love me. I'm suspecting yourself. I said it. What happened? Since 12 o'clock, now it's 3 o'clock, you have not called me. It happened. So you will tell her, I'll be calling you once in a day for 3 days. I am withdrawing. So when that time comes, phone your family, phone your wife. I'm still in the mountain. That's all. Don't collect people's prayer requests and say you are going to the mountain to pray for them. Don't do that. It's a distraction. Go and stay between you and you alone. And the best prayer to pray is to withdraw where you are alone. Not on a mountain where there are distractions everywhere. Whenever you hear Pastor Moses, I say, I am going for prayer. I go and lock myself in a room. In that camp, people don't even know. I will go and park my car in one area, the room where they stay. It is for another area. You go look for me, tire. Because there are some people that are, Pastor Moses, want to pray. Hey, God, don't answer my prayer. You go look for me, tire. All that I need for the 3 days will be in that room. I don't open the door to even come out. Me and him alone. When I finish, I enter my motor, I come back. When you do like that, God has more time now to deal with you. That's when the angel will come. Now go, they talk like this. Be watchful. And anytime there's danger around you, because you are watchful, you are prayerful, you will see it immediately. And when I say watchful, is you should watch when something is wrong with your spirit man. If any time I dream, it comes to pass like this, and now you dream and the opposite happens, you know there's something wrong. That's the meaning of being watchful. When I have this feeling and I say it like this, it comes to pass like this. But now I have said it and it didn't come to pass. Something is wrong. In my dream, anytime I sleep, now me they pursue them. But now then they pursue me. So they, I run tire last night. I run tire. Eh? But now you they pursue them before. Now then they pursue you. Common sense tells you something is wrong. Withdraw yourself immediately. Praise the Lord. I said, this person, the Lord say, give him pure water to drink and he will live. I give him, I heard the voice. I give him the pure water. He drink, finish the next day, he die. Ha. And I'm sure I heard it. As I used to hear before. Now, it simply means, if you are watchful now, it means, hallelujah, this channel that I have, remember, you are only a channel. Those of you who see, who hear, you are a channel that God comes to express himself through that channel. Satan too can come and impersonate like that voice you used to hear. And so you must be watchful. So that every day you are praying, Lord, you alone will use me. You alone will use me. There will be no wrong spirit. There will be no false spirit. I didn't go to any mountain to collect this gift. I sit down myself, that day you came and met me. I sit down my tail. I didn't rub anything from my eye. Father, I didn't go to Babalawo. You gave me this gift. I dedicate myself to you. You alone will use me. That is the prayer of every gifted brother, every gifted sister. Wrong spirit will not come near you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And please, one thing that can rubbish your gift and make it useless is bad character. Bad character can render your gift valueless. That's why William Branham made that popular statement we always quote. He said, gift without character is satanic. It's satanic. The gift that you operate is supposed to humble you. Because you have tasted of the reality of the existence of God. The voice speaking to you lets you know there is the Holy Spirit that speaks. No man can see him, but I have heard him. You have seen vision of heaven. You have seen angels. When we gather like this, you see angels moving. It is supposed to produce fear of God. It's supposed to produce humility. Pride comes from Satan. Humility is the evidence of godliness. Praise the Lord. See that sister now that has been excommunicated. Or that brother that was excommunicated. Genuine gift, but character has rubbished it. Because the problem is not that they saw something that didn't come to pass. The problem is character that goes with that anointing. You see? Satan does not know how to take away that gift from you. He will use character and render that gift rubbish. So you are genuinely gifted, but nobody wants to come to you because of your character. So you check your character. Check your character. Praise the Lord. Finally, be word-based in operating your gift. Be word-based. That is, be scriptural. Every gifted brother and sister, you must know your Bible, know your scripture, so that when you see certain revelation, amen, you will know whether that is scriptural or not. Be word-based. The word based. That's why Apostle Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. He says, study to show yourself approved unto who? Unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. You are not ashamed to operate your gift. Because you know you are not going to do anything contrary to the word. Amen. I told you the last time that some solution to some problems that are given, that those solutions are not godly solutions. They are occultic solutions. We must not give our revelation like Mami Wata spirit the prophets give their own. Amen. You must not do that. Select, take people's wives to the river to bathe person's wife. You go naked yourself. And then you carry with sponge, with coconut water, with egg, with what? With pigeon, with animal. Then go rub all over your body. And then, you know, anytime you are in this church and your gift operate and you see that as solution to a problem, run for deliverance. A celestial anointing is upon you. And that anointing is a marine anointing. It's water spirits. That's why their churches are always near water. They tell you, somebody, the solution you see, as you see a problem, the solution is, take a bottle of water, take a bucket of water, naked yourself. They open Psalm 23, and then read it 200 times, and then take the water and bath. It's occultic solution. It's occultic solution. Run for deliverance. Don't wave it away. Pastor, eh? That's the way you talk. That's why all my solutions, that's why they see them. I will conduct deliverance. And I'm telling you, after I pray for you, you will never see that thing again. That's how you will know that it was not God. Praise the Lord. It's true. Occultic solution. A solution that will tell you, go and sow seed in my life. You want the problem to go? Yes.